Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. It used to be an email problem, but now it's made its way to our smartphones, spam, and it's increasing dramatically. In fact, the number of U.S. spam text messages rose 45% last year to 4.5 billion messages. So what's behind this jump, and can anything really be done to stop it? To talk about that, I'm joined by David Diggs, a vice president at Wireless Industry Group CTIA, which is dedicated to expanding the wireless frontier. David, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Michael.
You know, I have to admit, I get more of these recorded phone calls on my cell phone than text spams every day. How about you?
Well, actually, the ones I'm starting to see now are some of these spam texts that I know probably your listeners are being plagued with as well.
So you're getting a fair share of them yourself then. Look, the real question is, why did it take so long for this problem to unearth itself? But what do we know about the sudden increase? What is the reason we're seeing this almost 50% jump in just the past year?
Yeah, well, I think there are a couple of reasons for this, but one is that the people who do spam are not going to go away. They're just going to find new ways to exploit different technologies. So as the email community has gotten better and more sophisticated in thwarting spammers, they have identified what heretofore had been sort of a nice, pleasant, uninfected area. So, think of it as the termites have moved from someone else's house to our house now.
Now, with email, you can block spam by identifying the source email it's coming from and so on. But when it comes to these text spams, aren't they coming from other phones, and isn't that much more difficult to block?
Well, there are a number of sources of the spam that can come in, but there are still things that consumers can do. As a matter of fact, I have, in the familiar do's and don'ts, I have one do and one don't that I'd like to get across, that what consumers can do about this.
Absolutely. Go ahead, please.
What they should do, if you get one of these that's offering to test some model of phone or give you a coupon or a mystery shopper or any of these kinds of text messages, you don't want to respond to it. What you want to do is forward that to 7726. So that's 7726.
What is that number?
Spam. Uh-huh. Yeah. And that is, if you're a customer of any of the tier one carriers here in the U.S., so that's Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, and AT&T, each of those companies has provisioned 7726 as the number to which you should forward any text message that you believe is spam.
So wait, are you saying they're now taking action on these spams and somehow finding ways to block them actively?
And asking for consumers to help so that the spam content can be identified.
I see. Maybe the spammer can be hunted down, perhaps?
Actually, some of the carriers have, it's sort of a truism that we learned from the law enforcement community that you only catch the dumb ones. But some of the dumb ones have set up their spamming operations, in the clear, using their own credit cards to acquire the tools that they need for it. So those have been disrupted. Obviously, this is a community that has learned over the years of doing this on email how to avoid detection.
Yeah, I'm talking to David Diggs. He's a vice president at the Wireless Industry Group, CTIA. So, David, what is the big don't when it comes to these spams once you receive them?
Well, the big don't is don't reply. Some of the content that we've seen looks like it has the mechanisms that consumers may be familiar with a lot of other campaigns. We've been worked real hard to develop a vocabulary within the legitimate ones, so that if you get a text message and you want to stop participating in it, you can simply send the word stop. You can send the word help. Legitimate campaigns will respond legitimately. They will stop sending you text messages if you say stop, and they will give you a help menu if you send help. These guys, all it does is confirm that you're a live fish, as it were. You know, they're just sort of going through the range of phone numbers. They don't really know whether they're active or not. So the mistake that consumers can make is to believe that if they send the word stop, that they will stop getting these. And it works the other way, I'm sorry to say.
So they'll just start and start even more aggressively. Yeah. Now, with computer spams, there have been known issues of viruses being implanted in them when you click on the links. Do we know, are there any kind of potential viruses in these text-based spams?
There are some reports of that. I am unaware of any that have been definitively stated to be viruses in nature. Most of them are efforts to develop, you know, if they identify you as a live item, then they'll sell this number elsewhere so that you can enjoy even more spam.
I see. Well, and in the email world, in fact, they've been very successful now. 99.9% of spams are prevented. In fact, there's this, the email security market now is a $5 billion industry. Do you expect to see the same kind of thing happening in the smartphone industry?
Yeah, I, you know, the good and bad news here is the good news is that the tools are known because they've been developed in the email world. The bad news is that after many years of a pristine environment, it appears as though the wireless industry will need to adopt a number of those tools. One other thing I want to make is, you know, you hear the number billion last year, and that gets a little scary. I think your listeners might be surprised to learn just how many text messages are sent in the U.S. every day. And the answer is every day, 6.5 billion, B with a B, are the number of text messages that that are sent every day. So relatively speaking, you know, the spam is still in a very early nascent stage. You know, the house isn't on fire, but it's enough that we're aware of it, and we want to make sure we can take the steps to get it back to where it was.
Are there issues other than the spam that you see as central right now to our wireless industry that need to be addressed?
It's been a relatively safe ecosystem, and again, that has to do with having the luxury of studying the rollout of the wired computer world and knowing which pitfalls we might be able to avoid in launching the wireless equivalent, the wireless internet.
So we kind of already know what's coming. Well, what about you, though, in terms of your own wireless use? Are you you an iPhone guy or an Android guy?
Dangerous question for the head of a vice president in the Wireless Association. I'll give you the standard answer. We love them all.
I see. So really, one is no better than the other. I assume you have an iPad, too, then?
You know, they're all, depending on what the use is, you know, if you want to cut wood, you need a saw, and that's the best tool. If you want to drive a nail, you're going to want a hammer. So there's something out there. There are literally hundreds of different models of wireless devices out there, and consumers are able to find one that fits their needs, their budget, and what they expect to do with it.
Do you have concerns about the wireless infrastructure being overwhelmed as more people begin to use devices like tablets and iPads with, you know, this wireless capability? Do you think there could be a point where the infrastructure may not be in place to support everybody?
You know, we spend an awful lot of time identifying and seeking to secure new sources of spectrum. We have talked for some time about the looming spectrum crisis here in the U.S. We have enjoyed in the U.S. a great lead on the rest of the world in terms of 4G deployment, but I think that is at some risk if we're not able to identify the raw material of the wireless industry, which is the radio frequencies, the wireless airwaves that we need.
So you're saying the way things sit now, that could in fact be a problem in the future?
It's always something that we are concerned about. We believe that we have identified a path to get sufficient spectrum, and we have worked with the FCC, which shares our goal, by the way, of supplying this industry with sufficient resources so that it continue to be the engine of growth for the United States.
David Diggs, Vice President at Wireless Industry Group, CTIA. David, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Michael, thank you very much.
And we are coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.